November 20, 2018, it's the Watt Pedro Show.
Thank you.
For Pedro Show. Happy Tuesday. Haven't done Tuesday in a while. And in fact, I kind of spaced and told Brother Matt the wrong day. So that's why, I'm not with him today. But I'll see him soon, probably after Turkey Day. I'm not completely man alone, though, here in my pad in Pedro, because through the incredible miracle of engineering, those software engineers in Estonia came up with Skype. I'm joined with Chet Smith from, he's in Brooklyn, New York, just landed, right?
That's right. Just got off the plane.
And where were you, Chess?
I was in Europe with, just doing a little short stint, like Dave Douglas, the trumpet player.
I say it again, you got cut out.
Oh, I was doing a short bit with Dave Douglas, the trumpet player. You know, right. Just like 5 gigs in Europe.
Great trumpet man.
Yeah.
Respect. In yeah. 5 days, a little one. Oh, I should say what we started off with. Yeah, countdown. Alternate take from the Atlantic stuff. John Coltrane. Yeah. And then this might be a fade out, which is a trippy way to start a show, but Chez does some righteous trippy music, so it's in honor of that. Chez Smith and These Archers. Not Those Archers, but These Archers. Arches, not Archers. I'm sorry. Are you always thinking of the Archers of Loaf?
I remember that band.
Yeah, North Carolina band.
Totally. And, yeah.
Had a tall singer, man. Like, well, you're a drummer, man, but you're tall.
That's right. So maybe he sang and played guitar, right?
Yeah. So maybe that's why I confuse the issue in my mind. look, Chez, I'm gonna give the listeners a little. A trip of your journey through music. So can you tell me your earliest musical recollection?
Oh, man. My older brother he wanted to play drums, and there was all these drummers in the neighborhood, you know? Like, this is in Sacramento, California.
Sacktown, okay.
Yeah, Sacktown, exactly. And,
Fires. Terrible fires near there.
I know. Yeah, that's a drag, man. That's serious.
Do you have family? They choke it out on the air? I mean, our air's a little bad here, but I can imagine up there.
Yeah, they say they can tell, but it's not super terrible where they are, you know?
Okay. Well, everybody good. Anyway, you're young, and you got an older brother, and he wants to do drums, and there's cats in the neighborhood with drum set.
Yeah, so he kind of figured out ways for us to go over there and just kind of play on their drums.
And there was two trap kids.
There was on the same block, there was like two different families that both had, you know, these guys that were drummers in the family.
Okay.
So we'd go over there, and usually I'd have to play some, like, football or something against, you know, much bigger kids and just get clobbered, you know, in order to, like, play the drums for 5 minutes, you know?
were bartering services.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
little different than the southwest corner of Melrose and Santa Monica Boulevard, but kind of the same idea.
Oh, yeah.
You don't have to worry about that bandana color code kind of thing, yeah. Right front pocket, rear pocket, starboard port. So, you wanted to do drums because your older brother did, or was it his idea?
I don't know. I just always remember wanting to do that. You know, my parents were cool. They were trying to get us piano lessons and stuff like that, and they just didn't. But they straight up didn't want to deal with the drum set, you know, and then even let one in the house, really. And then, but they also weren't sure if we were, like, serious or not, you know, or how long we'd be interested in it, you know.
Sure. Did they have a piano in the house?
They did, yeah, a little small upright piano.
So, your mom and pop, were they players or listeners or both?
Yeah, they were listeners, but not too much. You know, my mom used to play banjo in college and my dad played guitar. They were like, you know. They were on some folky trip or something like that.
Sure.
You know?
So was there a banjo and a guitar laying around the pad?
Yeah, there was. And that was another thing. I took the banjo and I ended up ripping all the strings off it and used it as a drum.
Snare drum.
yeah, it was like almost like a timbali.
Timbali, yeah. No wire, no snare.
Yeah, no wire, yeah. My mom was pissed.
It's like, timbali with a handle.
Exactly right.
Okay. Yeah. What about in school? Did you join the school band?
No, I never did that. I wanted to, and then by the time I was old enough, I think you couldn't play drums in school till the fourth grade at my school for some reason.
Uh-huh.
And by the time I got to that age, I had a drum set, so I didn't, you know, I just thought, I wanted to play, like, rock music, you know, so, and I didn't know what they were doing. They called it jazz band, and I didn't know what jazz was at all at the time, you know.
You know, I share the complete experience. I didn't know until Raymond Pettibone taught me. What was the first record you bought yourself, Chez?
I was just thinking about this. It was Twisted Sister, that, you know, the one that had, like, their biggest record, whatever that was. I can't remember what it was called. D, you know, that, like, Dee Snider with the
book. Dee Snider, that's his name. That's his
yeah. He was, like, biting into a bone on the cover or something. It was ridiculous.
We ain't gonna take it. I think yeah. Something like that. Something like a rebellious kind of thing. Because they were doing the crossover between hard metal or the heavy metal and maybe Shred Raw, Slayer. I don't know. I remember those days. Can you remember the first gig you went, saw another band play?
Yeah, that must have been... I don't think it was... I mean, okay. I must have seen, like, local stuff, you know, happening in public places as a kid, but I don't really have any memory up until... It was pretty late. It was, like first year of high school, I went and saw... it was Run DMC and Public Enemy.
Whoa.
You know?
Okay.
And which was great, you know? And that was in a little period where I'd taken a break from playing drums at all for like a couple of years. I was just like skateboarding.
Let's go back here. How did you get that mm-hmm. first drum set?
Oh, my grandpa found one at a garage sale in Modesto, California, and kind of went around my parents, didn't even ask them, you know, bought it for like $100 and just brought it over to us, you
thank,
know.
Thank God for grandpa. Oh, your brother was still playing.
Yeah, he was into it. So we just like, and then we were just like, you know, super fighting to be the one to play it more, you know, like we, you know, we just, you know, it's like we had the same toy or something, you know, and I just wait till he was done, or, you know, then be like, you know, that was enough. It's my turn.
Now, you did know. You have to set it up different than him?
No, actually, I assumed he knew what he was doing because he was older.
Okay.
You know? Right. And we're kind of, you know, he's like, you know, I'm a little taller than him now, but we were always kind of similar in height growing up, you know, even though he was a couple years older.
Sure, sure. I want to play yeah. something here that you did with Mark Rabeau, an incredible guitar okay. man. Your turn.
rhythm of your life before this stupid endless war against an enemy that just gives and gives and gives and gives and gives.
Promoters, you are now the promoters, you are now the
Dr. Pedro Show. Yeah, that was Chess Smith with Mike Ribot doing Your Turn, the Ceramic Dog Trio. And we're going to talk about that later because that's a great band. I mean, you're part of a lot of Righteous Projects, but I love that one. And then we had Phil Spector's out of OK City, Planet Score, Dietrich and Barnes, brand new, The Frost Pocket. That's John Dietrich. And yeah. Jeremy Barnes from Hawk and Hatchet. Not Tim okay. Barnes, the drummer. I got to play with Jim, John Dietrich with that man, Hand to Man band.
Tom okay, that was Tim Barnes?
Yeah, and Tom, yeah, he was the drummer man. And keyboard was Tom McDonough and John Dietrich on guitar, yeah. Incredible guy. I think they both live in New Mexico now. King Kirk
yeah.
Good Sounds.
Yeah,
out of Holland with the Year 500. Ned Collette, he was on a Sunday's, was it Sunday's? No, it was Thursday's show. God damn. Animal Swoon, it's just flying by. You know, this first year I took off and for a long time not touring, so it just went by like that. And then finally, I know about this band. In fact, I had a sticker on my bass, Good for Cows, Soul yeah. Bell, which is your bandmate was Devin Hoff, and I got to just finish mixing an album with him. The drummer man was Joe Berardi. Devin played stand-up. Yeah. It's called the Emma Goldman Bust Out Brigade. But Good for Cows, right. Great band. And I guess that was a Sacktown band, right?
Well, no, it was actually a bit like Oakland, really.
Okay, it's when you move. Okay, yeah, because Devin, I think, was in Colorado, and he moved to the Bay
yeah.
Area. Yeah, okay.
Let's
go a little before that, though. Yeah. Let's go a little before that.
Okay.
In school, did you do that? I mean, knowing you and your brother compete for the drum set, but did you do the thing where you play with your friends in school, like in the garage or bedroom or basement?
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, I did that. You know, not till beginning of high school.
Okay.
You know, and then you know, because I was not in any school band per se at all. So I just my friend played guitar, so I was like, let's play. You know.
Sure. I'm curious. Did you guys copy songs off records, or did you write songs?
The first thing we did was tried to play I really hated glam metal, but that's all he knew, so we tried to play that, and I remember we couldn't figure out how the drum part and the guitar part were supposed to go together, So, and it probably sounded kind of like what I'm doing now.
No, because the first gig I went to see was T-Rex, so there is a place for glam rock for me.
Okay, that's real glam rock. Okay.
Yeah. I guess at the end of the day, music is music, so the only thing different is the haircut.
Yeah,
and the shoes, the height of the shoes.
Yeah, that's important.
Yeah. James Williamson once told me about getting these shoes for the last phase of the Stooges in the 70s. Like the guy in Mata Hoopoe, they were real tall up his thighs. He didn't know that those kind of shoes couldn't bend. So they put him in the boat, put him in the van, laying on his back.
Wow. He couldn't bend.
Sorry, I cracked myself up. Okay, so did this band do gigs? Did it have a name?
Yeah, it kept changing. It was called just horrible names. It was called like Power Trip, and then it was called Through the Window Pane.
There's been a few bands with Power Trip.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Jeff Dahl had one.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And we as soon as we tried that failed glam experiment, the song, then we started writing songs right away. You know, we met the third member, and then he was kind of like, let's just write our own songs, so
that's
we did
great.
That.
I ask about that because when I was growing up, me and D. Boone only copied songs off records, because that's all anybody we knew did. Until we were exposed to the movement, we thought only dudes from Olympus that descended upon us were writing songs.
I see.
We're total idiots. So what about after high school? Did you think about, I want to do music in college?
Yeah, I actually did, and but then I realized, I didn't have any kind of background to get that going, in college. You know, like they wanted me to, they're like, oh, you audition with this, you know, classical stuff. And I was like, oh, I mean, I don't know any of that. I'm just like banging on the drum set, you know. And I had taken a few drum lessons by then and was just starting to figure out that jazz wasn't Steely Dan, you know. Like someone had told me that, so I thought that's what jazz was. My dad was that, so I was like, oh, yeah, okay, maybe I'm not
the jazz. I heard a lot of Dan in the Boat because Georgie loved the Dan.
Oh, really?
Thank God, not only half of Asia, but yeah, the first six records all the way, we had to listen to that shit all the time. Now, these were great drummers. We're talking Steve Gadd, Jim Keltner. I mean,
yeah, killer drummers.
Yeah, yeah. Killer drummers. Even Jeff Porcaro and stuff, you know, yeah. You're finding out that jazz is actually a technique of music. But so how far did the college thing go? This ain't for me. Like that?
Oh, the college thing?
Yeah.
Oh, no, I ended up, as far as music went, I just realized I have to go another way, but I did want to go to college. So yeah. I went to the University of Oregon, and I actually met some people, you know, in like kind of a, I don't know what you call it. It was like a heavy, sort of heavy indie band that would improvise. And then like, you know, almost like it sounded like metal at times. And then those guys were really like seriously going after bebop, you know, so.
We're talking about Eugene, right?
Yeah, and Eugene, yeah.
Okay. And were you taking music classes at the school, or were you studying another subject?
I ended up studying philosophy.
Oh, great.
But I did take whatever classes they would let me into for music, just because I was, you know, because I loved it. I was just really, that was the only other thing I did besides study philosophy there, you know, just play with that band. And you know, we started playing like little jazz gigs around town and stuff like that. In addition, you know.
But you said it was also like improvised heavy metal.
Yeah. yeah, I don't know. It was just like the spirit of it.
You're playing little jazz clubs with improvised heavy metal.
Yeah, we just play like rock clubs with, you know.
Oh, rock clubs. I'm thinking of some like wine bar, wine and fern bar, you know.
No. We were just playing with, like, you know, punk bands and rock bands, and what they, at that point, they call it alternative bands, you know. Wow Hall in Eugene, you know, like places I saw Firehose, actually.
Yeah, I was going to just say, probably Wow Hall.
Yeah, John Henry's.
John Henry's, right. There was that one pad that was a gas station.
A gas?
There was a pad for a little while that was like a gas station. The dude turned into a chow pad and they had gigs there.
Oh my gosh. Trippy. That's vaguely ringing a bell, but
I can look at my tour diaries, but you get done with this school. Do you leave Portland? I mean, not Portland, Eugene. I'm sorry.
Eugene. Yeah. Yeah. I left Eugene right. You know, my girlfriend at the time convinced me to move down to the Bay Area, and I started, you know, I went down there and started cooking pizza and just playing around, you know.
That's where you meet Devin Hoff.
Yeah, a few years after that, I met Devin on a jazz gig.
And you guys put together Good for Cows.
Yeah, originally it was supposed to be a trio, but the third person would never showed up to rehearsal, so we just, you know. We're just like, I guess we should write for this, you know, like just up.
I've played a lot of Good for Cows on my show. I love that stuff. That's interesting.
Oh man, it was partly inspired by Dose, actually.
Really? I should tell the listeners, people. Dose was a two bass only band. Myself.
Yeah, exactly. Just two bass, and then we're, you know, like. I don't know, it just kind of, when I saw that, I was like, whoa, you could do that in a club? You know, and then I was like, how many weeks is this, you know?
You know, Kay started off running the prac pad part of the mask. So when she said dose, yeah, so, you know, she goes right back to 77. And So when she said Dose to me, Dose is a very punk band. I said, okay. Because in a way it was very balls out where people could fucking talk over you at a punk
band. Right. Right.
Interesting. So when you guys, that stuff I played, that recording you did with Good for Cows, was that some of your first mm-hmm. recording?
I think you played, no, that was one of the, that was probably our third record or something like that.
Oh, okay.
You know?
Okay.
But, it had developed into that. And, you know, that was kind of when I started writing music, actually, like, because Devin was, you know, Devin's really encouraging always.
Yeah,
and, you know, we both bring in stuff and kind of finish each other's things, you know?
Mm-hmm. He's really good about that.
Yeah, yeah. So, well, like, Devin's been, he's, like, I've learned a lot from him, you know, about music, and, you know, it's just great having that band with him. And we actually still play, you know, but it's, like, once a year, maybe.
But you still call Good for Cows.
Yeah.
Well, that's good for us. Thanks so much for keeping on with that project, because very interesting. And you know, both you guys' musical voices, you know, they come out, you aid and abet each other, you know. It's just beautiful.
Right.
And,
yeah.
It's like being
good friends, too. Yeah, I think it comes out.
Well, you're also very kind to include Dose as some part of it in some way. Thank you so much about that.
Oh, yeah. Verified.
Okay. We're at the end of the first hour, November 20, 2018, edition Watt for Pedro Show. Special guest, Chess Smith. Hold tight for hour two. November 20, 2018. It's the second hour. Watt for Pedro Show.
Thank you. Thank you.
My soul spins around.
Pedro Show. We start off the second hour with Piano Lid Serves as a Wall. John Zorn, Chaz Smith. Chaz Bundick meets the Matson 2, Cascade. Wharton Tears Ensemble, old friend, New York City, with Rasputin's Orgy. He's got a new album coming out, but we're going to have him on the show next month. Sassafras with Cage Your Mind, that's from here in SoCal. Chronic Anxiety out of Pennsylvania, Open Floor Plan, and finally Good for Cows, again with B-Metal Revival. Now, were you reviving that music from high school? No, from the, not high school, college.
I think we were reviving something we heard on the radio together driving to a gig, you know? It's like this metal, there's some station in the Bay Area would play all this, like, it was like thrash from... You know, just all thrash metal and all these bands that I'd never heard. You know, it wasn't the, like the big ones, you know.
Was it, was the singing like Cookie Monster?
No, it was more like the screaming.
Oh, more the like screamo.
Power scream.
Screamo, yeah. Yeah. Because I found that Cookie Monster vocalist kind of like even things out. Like Stooges did this festival in France called the Hellfest. And like there was 40 bands with Cookie Monster. Maybe it was the same singer.
could be. Man, then the Stooges. After
and with Stooges, so we were way different. That was a heavy gig.
Also.
That was a real heavy gig. It was the last time Scotty. No, he played with us one more time. But
oh wow!
Yeah, there was a lot. When I think back to that gig. So it's funnier to think back on the Cookie Monster thing. Yeah, it was very sad in some ways. I love those guys so much. Anyway, getting back to delivering pizza and composing music in the Bay Area. Does touring come into your life?
A little bit. I was in around that time. Good for Cows was doing, you know, kind of regional stuff, like nothing really past the Midwest, you know. And then, you know, I was also in a band called Theory of Ruin around that time, you know, like a little later, right after Good for Cows started, and that toured a bit, you know, just U.S. though, nothing out of the country. Maybe, you know, maybe like Vancouver or something like that.
Theory of Ruin. Okay.
Yeah, that's like a loud. That's, you know, pretty heavy band.
Okay. It sounds like Theory was probably very pragmatic.
Yeah.
I know, I'm going to play something here from Seven-Year Rabbit Cycle. There's a connection with, maybe it was the guitar man from Deerhoof?
Yeah, the original guitar player of Deerhoof, Rob Fisk.
Okay.
And his wife Kelly also sang, and she was in Deerhoof, and just made it onto the record Hold E Pause, I think their second record.
Yeah, because the first one, like Pirate Booty, some kind of I think it's only Greg and it was this guy, huh? Oh, I didn't know I know there was no Satomi involved. It was just two people, and it sounds like the whole album's improvised. And I think Grux from the Rainbow Carolina Dudes put it out.
Yep.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, that could have been Niter Pit, you know, the band right before Deerhoof.
Oh, they had another one? Greg had another one?
I think it was just a duo, just them two, and then when Satomi joined, they changed it to Deerhoof or something right around that
time. Pirate Screed. Sure. Pirate Screed or something. I remember getting, and it was like one big fucking song.
Yeah.
You know, because I ended up getting to do a proj with Greg. Incredible.
Yeah.
Music. He called Big Walnuts Yonder with Nails. And,
oh, nice.
God, you guys are both incredible drummers. But what I like about it is you got such distinct persona. I wish more people were like that on more instruments, you know. You know, you can start off with the same things. I always think about like Husker Du, Meat Puppets, and Minutemen. You can have three trios playing the exact same things, but sound much different.
Yeah, way different.
Right. So that's a great thing. So this 7 year, I'm going to play this. It's called Ciabatta. That's named after a sandwich, right? 7 year rabbit cycle. Well, I always wondered about that. I actually got to play with these guys, but you weren't in the band. They came down.
Yeah,
or did you? Were you in the band at the Smell?
With
Dose.
Dose played.
It was with Dose, right? Jim at the Smell.
Downtown. I was there.
Okay, then you. Let's play it. Thank you. Pedro show. Yeah, that was 7 year rap cycle. How long were you in that band, Chaz?
I think just a couple years. Actually, my wife started it with Rob, if I remember right. Yeah, you know, my wife Mia Osaki, she plays bass in that band.
That's right.
So I just kind of joined. They didn't have. Oh no, that's right. Steve Giganti played drums in that, and then he left. He moved to Tennessee, so okay. They needed. You know, so I started playing drums with them, and the whole music changed at that point.
Yeah, because what had happened was like a year or two before that, Nels had brought me to my first Deerhoof gig, and he was on the guitar then. And
it was a
club in Wilmington called the PCH Club. Yeah, that was the first. So I see the guitar man again. Now he's with Seven, and he told me this is my band. But I didn't know it started with your wife. So
yeah, Rob was really the engine in it. You know, he's just such a. He just thinks about like you know how he conceives of music. He's good at. You know, he has like a vision, and he'll tell you what he thinks. The song is about, but then there's a lot of leeway, you know.
Okay.
So it is his band, you know, really, even though, you know.
Are they still going?
No, I just talked to Rob a bit ago. I don't know what he's doing. He's always in between California and Alaska. You know, like he goes to Alaska to make, I think he does the fishing boat thing or something like that. You know, makes money in the winters.
Ooh, that's hard work. I had a friend here, Pedro, he said 8 months of that kicked his ass. So he went back to the docks and did Longshore. I should tell what we also played. If So, So What with Mistake, Dragon Blue, that's Tenko, with Out of Order. Il Boschetto di Nona Bava by Germanotta Youth. Theory of Ruin. There we go. Double Negative. And Kongs for Brums, KK Freestyles. Kongs?
That's my solo project.
Yeah, Kongs. Kongas?
Yeah, no, Kongs, it's like a misspelling of songs.
Okay.
And Brahms is a misspelling of drums.
Oh, okay. Songs for drums. Instead of Kongs for Brahms. Well, tell me about that project. I don't know anything about this project.
Yeah, it's just... You know, I write stuff for, it's just drum set, electronics, and vibraphone. And, you know, the electronics, I get, like, loops going and stuff, and then try to fuck those up, you know, and then just deal with the mistakes, like, improvising-wise.
Right.
So, you know, so it's just like a solo thing. I've actually toured quite a bit on it.
So are you actually co-conspirator is a pewter? Are you playing with a pewter?
No, I'm playing with, usually, well, okay, that track you're playing, it's a Moog app. It's on an iPad, but, you know, like, the thing started out with just a key, you know, like a Casio keyboard and a drum machine, basically, you know, and then, you know, just, that was the whole thing, and then it's kind of develop from there, but it keeps that. I basically use keyboard sounds and drum machine sounds. You know,
but is there a sequencer kind of driving it? So, I'm trying to say, Chaz, is
making up the loops as I go. You know, it's not really sequenced ahead of time because it needs to be. Like I find what's interesting is, you know, almost not pulling off what I'm trying to do, and then having to pick up the pieces in real time. You know.
Yeah. So a part of is player piano mode, and then there's the real life guy trying to redefine it in a, you know, in this world, this universe. Yeah. That's interesting.
I can manipulate the player part as well.
Okay. Would you feel like you got foot pedals or shit?
Yeah, I just use a hand. You know? Okay. I usually use, and then I only have a volume pedal at my foot, and that's just usually to. If it's really out of control, I can just cut it.
Yeah. you know what? We should have those kind of controls with band members. Little volume controls.
You could do that.
Yeah, you could do that. But I don't think people...
When Theory of Ruin played with The Fall, you know, like a late version of The Fall in like the early 2000s, and Marky Smith was like running around like...
turning dudes' amps down.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, turning the bass player's amp. I don't know what he was doing.
Yeah, I think there was a gig in Hoboken where he got socked up.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe it was around this time. He had a bad period. Well, he came on stage with a black eye because I think the keyboard lady hit him with a phone.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, I know. Anyway, we lost him earlier this year, people, so let's speak Reverend Mark E. Smith. We can reach the second end of the second hour, 2018, November 20, edition WAP Pedro Show, special guest Chess Smith. Hold tight for hour three. November 20, 2018, it's the third hour of the WAP for Pedro Show.
Tires howl like a wailing banshee. A desert blacktop hisses in the night. A postcard's from the road to Gomorrah. A peroxide stripper is Lot's wife, all right. Can't close my eyes. Your arm like a cancer, steering wheel melts between your hands. Please won't you forgive my companion. The Owens were never meant for Nevada sand. Can't slow down now, the dogs are on our tracks. This is backcountry with ether. Golf shoes on, American dream, nightmare's dream. It's all just a great big con. He's a bad friend, Cadillacs, living off of blood tonight. Try and hide on the left hand side, there's jackals on the right. Golf shoes on, American dream, nightmare's dream. It's all just a great big con. He's a backslid Cadillac, lives a type of blood tonight. I try and hide on the left hand side, his shackles on the right. Precious swine, tap the telephone line. Cameras behind every mirror. A hotel maids, bellhops, the CIA. A chemical cocktail to fight back the fear. Can't turn around, there's daggers in our backs. A vista back country with ether and Cadillacs. Ether back. Your golf shoes on, American dream, nightmare's dream. It's all just a great big con. He's a batsman, Cadillacs, living off of blood tonight. I try and hide on the left hand side, the shackles on the right.
Watt for Pedro Show. We started off the third hour with Kevin Loop doing Ether Bats and Cadillacs. That reminds me of Eddie Hazel's solo album. He called it like, I don't know, Dreams, Dames, and Guitar Things. It's got the most whack version of California Dreaming you've ever heard. Eddie Hazel, incredible. He's the guy who played lead guitar in Maggot Brain.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, great.
Yeah, he was the guy to inspire me to ask Jay Maskus to do that. I think their drummer was a guy named Tukey. Tukey, right?
Yeah, or Tiki Fullwood.
Tiki, that's it.
I listen to him so much.
Yeah, but he lost his mind from LSD, I think.
Oh, really?
He's on those first couple albums. He's incredible. I really like him a lot. I really like him. Especially the album Maggot Brain, which I got to do with George Clinton, Blackbird McKnight.
Oh, wow.
Who's the other guitar? Michael Hampton. And then Doug Wimbush. You know, with the, like 50 pedals. He's playing bass, but like 50 pedals. So, anyway, we did the whole fucking album. And I didn't even know it was going to happen. Yeah, the dude asked me to come up there. Eric McFadden, I think. I thought it was going to be like blues jam in E minor. And we ended up doing, because it was a NAMM thing, and George Clinton was there for his book or something. I remember we get to the chorus with Back in Our Minds. And Doug Wimbush looks over me and goes like, yeah, what? You know this song. And you know, all the years I've been playing, I never felt more, you know, real than Doug Wimbush looking over at me and saying, yeah, what? That was so bad, you know, and it just came together. Here I thought it was going to be some, oh man, E minor blues jam at the Viper Room on a Thursday. No, a Wednesday. But man, I am so glad I went to that because it was fucking bitching. And I got told later some of them songs were never done live before. So tell me about Kevin Loop.
Oh, Kevin Loop. I don't know who that is, unfortunately.
Ah, maybe I mixed up the song. You know what? I think I mixed it up with Kongs for Brahms.
Oh, okay.
Because I played two of your songs in a row. You know, almost 18 years of doing this show, Chez, and there's still lots of room for pilot air.
That's great.
You know, when you turn the jet airplane into a lawn dart, that's pilot air. Okay, so fuck that question. But we did. Second Hand for Maniacs, Juju for Plutonium Farmers, and then here's something I'm very sure you're part of. Tim Burns Snake Oil, Incidental Contact. Tell us about this project.
Oh, yeah, that's Tim. That band's been together since 2009. And, I just met Tim shortly before that, and wanted to put a band together using myself and Oscar Noriega on clarinets and a really amazing piano player named Matt Mitchell.
Right, but there's no guitar, no bass. It's like just keys and the horns and drums, right?
Yeah, but actually I think that track, there is a version of the band that added Ryan Ferreira on guitar, and I think he's on that track, if I remember correctly.
Okay. Wrong again, Watt. You're wrong again. what about the bell? This thing you did with Craig Tabor and Matt Maneri.
Oh yeah, that kind of came as a result of being in Tim's band, Snake Oil. The producer at UCM, Manfred Eicher, kind of asked me if I wanted to do something, and I just played a free improv gig with Craig and Matt, and I was like, you know, it might be cool to do something with them, you know.
Okay.
And then, he's like, yeah, well, maybe we could, I'd be interested if it's something that might develop. So, you know, so I just started writing music for it, and Craig and Matt were into the idea. So that's how that came about. And we ended up, you know, we put out that record, and we played like a ton now.
Oh, so it's a live proj. Great. You know, this is called The Bell, and I got to hip you to some Pedro slang. Actually, George Hurley. The bell is another word for your stomach. You know, when it's getting big, it's like a bell. So when I saw this title, see, be with George Hurley 14 years.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you.
Watch for Pedro show. Yeah. The Bell. Jeff Smith, Craig Taborn, Matt Maneri. And this is still going, people. So he says they play all the time. So if you're in the NYC area there. Then we had White Stock Club with Sist Sam. Sist, like, as in, like, you know, fucking growth around a sore.
Sist.
Yeah. And then Clowns with two W's. Trousers. And finally, Reds, We All Break. We All Break?
Yeah. That's my band. I wrote a project, I wrote music for a project that I had with a couple drummers in the Haitian Vodou tradition. You know, they're teachers of mine.
Yeah.
And I've been studying that drumming and active in the scene, especially in New York and a little bit in Haiti also, since, God, it's been like 15 years now. Just like, you know, like really studying that music. And then, I wrote something. I had a chance to do, like, I got a budget to do a gig at the BIM house in Amsterdam, anything I wanted, and I just thought of trying to do that, you know. Which is it's a little nerve-wracking just bringing, you know, people that, you know, it's kind of like bringing those drummers into the, you know, sort of free jazz world, you know,
sure.
For me. And, but it ended up, you know, they were great, and it ended up working out, and then we had a chance to, like, really practice a lot and the next year, you know, and get a bunch of music together, and then we recorded it, and that's a track from that record.
Okay. You got future plan for that project?
Yeah. There's talk of us playing at Big Ears Festival in Tennessee next year. It's a little tricky because Danielle is in California now, and the rest of us are in New York.
Hard to practice. Hard to practice.
Yeah. Hard to practice. Hard to practice.
Please tell me about how you got part of Ceramic Dog.
What about Ceramic Dog?
How did you get to be part of that?
That's because of Shahzad. You know, Shahzad is Miley, the bass player.
Sure, incredible musician.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, he's, yeah, do you know Shahzad?
He wants to transpose some of my bass solos, like write them down.
Yeah, yeah, he's like, he's a big, heavy into your music, you know, as we all are. But,
beautiful.
But yeah, I met him through Secret Chiefs 3, this band I play with, you know, that's based in the Bay Area.
Yeah, he used to be the Mr. Bungle, one of the Mr. Bungle guys. Yeah.
Exactly, Trey, you know, and I met Trey. I did some touring with Mr. Bungle a long time ago, and then that's how I met Trey, and then
actually the bass man, little guy, he's Trevor Dunn, really good.
Trevor. Yeah, Trevor's great. I play with him a lot as well.
Yeah, much respect to him. So, okay. So Shahzad, he connected you with Mark?
Yeah, he did. He told me to come out and audition for this trio, Mark's new trio. I never talked to Mark at all, and then I fly myself out to New York, and then I find out that nothing's even been set up yet. and this is just like so Shahzad, you know. You just got to have faith, you know, with Shahzad and Mark for that matter, you know. And lo and behold, you know, Shahzad calls me the night I get in. He calls me late that night. He's like, okay, I just set it up. It'll happen tomorrow. You know, we're going to play with Mark, you know, and then I was like, okay, you know, I wasn't expecting much, you know, but then we ended up playing and it was really fun. And then, you know, Mark just started, I started traveling out there regularly to play with them, you know, and that was before I moved to New York.
Okay. What about the next Chess Smith recording that's coming out?
What is there? Well, there's that, yeah, the Kongs for Brums thing is pretty new, that it's called A Complete and Tonal Disaster. That's just, but it's a Bandcamp release, you know, and,
that's okay.
Yeah, next, yeah.
I would love for you to come on the show and talk about, especially that's all you, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's do another show, early next year and talk and go through all those tracks, and because that'll get people up to date with your personal vision of the drums and how it makes sense with all the rest of us.
Okay, sure. Yeah.
It's been beautiful having you on. A big honor for me. I'm a huge fan. I love you doing your own trips, but I also love you aiding and abetting all these other cats and getting their fucking trips going. Thank you so much.
No, thank you, man.
Big love, big love. It's been the November 20, 2018 edition of Watt for Pedro Show. Special guest, Chess Smith. People, keep your powder dry.